Booyakasha!
Hello!
Oh, yes.
This is show 75.
Three quarters. Halfway done.
This is, what's that in, like, anniversary terms? Is that the ruby? Is that the silver?
Yeah, that's kryptonite.
It's a kryptonite.
It's kryptonite. That's definitely kryptonite.
I can't get the Browns with Basement out of my head. Love is still in the air. Augustus Pablo.
Does end quick.
Ooh, sorry about that.
I was just getting in the groove.
I was like,
not
just
so
hanging
smooth.
Out, and then
just like, sorry about that.
Did it harsh your mellow?
Yeah, bro.
You need a massage?
Yeah, bro. It's like crazy. It's like, didn't even know it happened. So that was cool.
Yeah, I dug that.
Thanks, Spence.
The Melodica King.
Hey.
Wasn't it?
It was somebody that Dan knows well, Augustus Pablo.
And Jacob Miller, which I mistook for being Horace Andy at first. Rookie error.
Apparently.
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, happens, you know.
So, man, we're keeping the show pretty regular. I like that. It's all coming around. There's a rhythm to the madness.
I guess it's like... it's like every it's we'll do two in a row, and then it'll go like 2 weeks,
yeah,
and then nothing, and then we'll like, oh, okay, yeah, we're definitely doing the show.
That's not bad.
That's okay.
That's better than the regularity we used to have. Irregularity, I should say.
Yeah,
where we go like 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and then another show. Yeah. And then 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and then another show.
It's hard being, you know, a world-class blogger.
It is,
I think.
It's just exhausting.
It's just really
Do they have like rankings for that? Like, you can go somewhere and I'll be like, this person gives good blog. Sorry.
That's a nice blog job there, yeah. Spence.
Speaking of blogs, yeah, so what did you think of that that blog entry about our science and the making it rain comment?
Oh yeah.
this is the first time I've ever had any like online media. And I don't know, maybe I should give some background. So we did a paper on these flying lemurs in the jungles of Singapore from some work we did. And we had some nice coverage on the science, which did actually involve gluing you know, like Nintendo Wii parts and iPods to...
Is that really how you did it? Did you guys actually just buy stuff and dismantle it and kludge together the right thing?
No, no, we bought the the chips raw, but they're the same chips that are used, and we wanted to get the press, so we mentioned that that's what they're
using. No, no, makes
sense. But then we get one person who writes this blog, and it's cool, it's funny, but he says, so we talk about how the animals were gliding through the middle of the night in the jungle with the backpacks on. He says, sounds like an excuse to glue electronics on a helpless little creature to us. Which is,
because what that's that what you were looking for. You're like, well, let's see. Yeah. Can we glue a backpack on a helpless little creature?
Ultimately, ultimately, you're looking to build the Borg, but you're starting one lemur at a time.
Yeah. They're the perfect animal for it. But this is really funny. Then he goes on to explain that if a Kalugo affixed with one of his backpacks glides away from the test area, he can press a button on a remote control, causing the backpack to explode along with the rogue Kalugo, a technique he calls, quote, making it rain.
Did you really say that?
No, I didn't say any of this.
No, but he says that you say making it rain.
They totally made it up. Misquoted, right? Yeah, yeah. That's fully made up.
Freaking bloggers.
Our quote we gave to our, to the papers was just like, we can learn about the evolution of gliding mammals and very safe and boring stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny though. I kind of like it.
And then he tries to make it gross and disgusting.
Did you guys actually, you say that this animal was fairly easy to catch. Was that part of picking the animal that you got to be able to wrestle it real good?
No. It was the opposite of that.
Hard to catch. That's why they put the backpacks on them.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. Because, you were telling a story earlier where it made it almost sound like they're a little bit slow and dim-witted. Yeah, they're high up in the trees and stuff, but they're pretty easy to just kind of swipe and grab by the neck.
No, they're pretty tough. Greg is covered in like scars from getting the backpacks.
They put up a good fight.
Big claws for grabbing onto the trees.
Man.
They don't like being grabbed.
I can imagine. It's like,
It doesn't. I mean, they're fine. They hop right up the tree and glide away. But you're capturing a wild animal.
You got to think that glue is actually pretty unobtrusive compared to being like strapped on or.
I was actually picturing a backpack with little straps going around his shoulders that you'd cinch on and stuff. Yeah.
Actually, I should show it to one of my buddies. I told him I was working on this, and he sent me back. He had photoshopped an eBay page that said "flying squirrel backpack." And he took like a picture of a squirrel and put like a polka dotted pink school backpack over it and put like $14.95. Anyways, I didn't mean to jump right into that, but it was a funny little.
No,
we're talking about blogs,
up.
And I don't know. Do you think it's good or bad to have these sort of viral things that take stuff and go crazy with
Bailey.
It?
Bailey loves it.
Bailey thinks
Bailey
it's a
says,
great idea.
"Give me a keyboard.
She
I got
says,
something to say."
She says, "It's the way to go. It's the way of the future."
Microphone chewing. Well, good, bad. It is kind of crazy, especially, I don't know what it's like over in the American press, but it seems like every single UK news story, it ends with the newscaster saying, like, do you have an opinion? Tell us, take a crap recording from your phone and send it over, and like, it's just a bit ridiculous.
It's web 2.0.
It's so crazy.
Well, that to me seems good, because that to me seems like... that Al Gore thing about the assault on his book, the Assault on Reason, where the problem is there's one way downloading of ideas through TV to people.
Right. Yeah.
And if you can actually feed back.
Well, we were doing, the problem is it's hard to maintain. We were doing that for a while. You remember we were trying to get people to send audio comments via Skype and everything else. And it actually is really like from a broadcaster perspective,
cool.
It is really fun to like,
it's work though,
to have get to get that feedback and to be able to sort of feedback to to the audience, but like
it's like Hendrix,
exactly. but at the same time, it's like it's really hard. It's hard to aggregate it. It's hard to motivate it. It's hard to to keep it like as a main content stream. Like people aren't doing it if we're not saying do it. So it's kind of weird.
Yeah. But also the other downside is that it's just like trying to find free music. You're gonna sift through a lot of and we didn't experience this on Notes Underground, of course, because our listeners are goddamn geniuses. But like You have to sift through so much garbage. Like, you go to any mass protest. Basically, what they're at, what the news companies are asking for is a protest. In essence, they're asking for a message from the masses, which is what a protest is. You know? And anytime you get a protest, it's got to distill down to the simplest thing. And oftentimes, that has to rhyme. But, like, but you know, and work to the beat of a drum. But, like you go to any mass protest, and there's a ton of little voices saying things, but the ultimate final voice says nothing more than, I agree or I disagree. Like, that's all you can say when you have 20, 50, 100,000 people saying something. You can just get a general sense. And that's kind of the annoying thing about it, is that you can pick out five voices, but it's only five voices. And if you need to pick out 50,000 voices and turn it into one voice, it can never be anything that complex, which is why every protest is nothing more than no or yes, is kind of how
it's
I,
the only thing everyone will agree
everyone
on.
Everyone can say.
The lowest common denominator.
Yeah, the lowest common denominator answer, yeah. The simplest language, yes right. Or no. And it's
but you
got to
think that maybe that this is just the beginning and that we'll get more sophisticated and that we could, and that, you know,
statistical analysts will run the world and run the yeah maybe.
Well, it's already happening. I mean, that's what's Karl Rove's job, right? I mean, that we know that works. Right?
Yeah, good point.
You know,
how about some more music?
Hit me.
Ooh ooh.
I saw a Senegalese shaman spinning sand spirituals, and the god sent back to smile at the singing child. I heard century-old reels disclose millennia-old secrets. The sleeping cop races under metropolitan trees. I tasted ghost blood gumbo up in Congo Square cook-offs. In front of Armstrong's bell and knew it was worth the wait. I inhaled government manufactured crack stacks, size cripple racks, sound of the rings on records past peyote the Grand Canyon. They called it hip-hop. Consoling with consonants, remote control confidence. It's moving the continent, assume life incompetent. That's a hell of a sentence, or a sentence to hell. The noise of the now, I'm too deaf to tell. John Gold said we fake his dance very well. The anger is remembered, and immense are hard to come by. Gazing secondhand at glory, blurry, bolstered by their minds, wine and pelvic thrust sustenance. Oh, shooting centers, no bedside. Now I'm TY of ancestry, and what's not quite guilt? More like regret. It's not my fight, but I act like a vet. Little but till I awoke, advising truth and rest. So here we float between decent prose and the present's constant wind. Waxing nonchalant and misappropriated dark continents. Wondering why two great human abnormalities are compassion and common sense. Throwing secret New Orleans aura besides all scholars condescend. The spirits have left the room and I'm left to write the set. Despite aforementioned salvation, this pen cannot repent. Righteous thunder revelers pounding dry pavement to hear the earth answer back underneath. Rocks that beat, Jonesy elves and metronomes summon sleeping giants. Living crowds coalesce and explode, lifting the shroud of death from wrecked bones. And wave my rights like an eternally burning flag. Always fire colored and covered, coveted summer cavorting with lovers too loud for flesh. The type I haven't met yet, but I'm sure you're becoming. After us nothing, before screams humming. Dream something and we'll play it. Next melody drifting downriver, sun dressed and kissed and shown for new b-boys. No one ever dies, not in my sky. We are soaring so simply it's missed by reason. It exists as silent song. Artists wake up human to put attitude and violence on. Put off tomorrow, let's say we say what we mean to feel more often. I'm real sure I'm less shy, I steal words from hip-hop like what? But I love it like you, don't you love it when it's like you? And we say that's my jam, cause it is, cause it's like that when it likes you. Giving group affirmation like yes y'all. And it goes on because you don't stop, cause if you did the world would fall apart. And these beats would return to the womb of the universe, where they'd wait another 6 billion years for life to sound like boom bap again. So move!
We'll be right back.
That was cool. Who was that?
Wasn't that good?
That was the Youngblood Brass Band.
Yeah, I really liked it.
Yeah, I was deep into it.
I haven't heard a lot of really good hip hop lately, and I don't know if that's because I'm not being exposed to it because of who I'm not hanging out with, or if there's just not a lot of great hip hop coming out. But that was pretty good.
No, there's got to be a lot of great hip hop. But I'm with you. Like, not actually, I have no hip hop junkie friends.
Yeah,
not one. And that's a strange thing. It didn't used to be that way. But I've got so little. They're all in New York, actually. That's why. They're like miles
away.
Are
they not telling you about what's going on?
I'm just not in touch enough. Yeah.
There's got to be a lot of British hip hop stuff that's pretty amazing.
You'd like to think.
Yeah, Bailey thinks so. Bailey's like, I know. I got a couple good rhymes for you.
Yeah. No, but Youngblood's out. Can you believe they're out of Madison, Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Those guys. You can believe it.
Really? Yeah.
Okay.
Madison's supposed to be a pretty cool place.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
There's got a great school there.
It's where Ann Arbor is.
UW. Ann Arbor. Yeah, I've had some crazy times there. I guess everyone has.
What, in Ann Arbor?
Oh, yeah. Hash Bash.
Is it? Wait, I've been to Ann Arbor.
You guys never went to Hash Bash?
No. What's Hash Bash?
You never saw the Lone Reefer at Hash Bash?
Negative.
Oh, man. Dude, that's the only time I've ever had guns pulled on me by the cops. That's for another day.
Ann Arbor's a great town. Were you ridiculously stoned?
We were in a van with a bunch of hippies, like literally to the point where the girl driving, her name was Cosmos. The guy in the passenger seat, who I can only assume was her boyfriend, his name was Fajita. And Fajita, like fajita, but pronounced literally, you know, phonetically.
But Fajita. More like frajada.
Yeah. And we were in a beat up van, and it was, when you drive at 50 miles an hour, it would kind of wobble like you were drunk. And so we got pulled over by the cops, and the cops thought we were drunk. And the moment they saw these two screaming hippies in the front seat, they said, "We're going to search your van." And we had so much bad stuff on us, like so much. We all thought we were doomed. And quite honestly, Cosmos, the girl driving, she saved our lives because she had the van registered as her home. It was a mobile home, so they couldn't search it without a search warrant. She said, "I'm sorry, this is my home. You can't search it."
That is amazing.
And it saved all of us massively. And literally, cops were pulling up because the people that pulled us over thought they had so much reason to search. Cops, like, backup came, and they were behind the door with the guns out and stuff. And we had guns pulled on us, and our hands were out the windows, literally out the windows. They said, "Hands out the windows," that whole thing. And she said, "Sorry, you can't search this. This is my house." And they checked, she knew what she was doing. She knew what she was doing.
Yeah.
She saved
us. Exactly.
Can you believe it?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Cosmos may have used that one before.
Well, it worked. Blew my mind. Anyway, Hash Bash was a blast.
She's like, they drive away. She's like, works every time.
Yeah.
Roll up the windows.
Yeah.
Anyways, you passed that joint, dude?
Yeah. Something like that. So yeah, Youngblood Brass Band, they were great. I'm well into them.
So why are you surprised they came out of Madison?
Well, I don't know.
How far away is Madison from Ann Arbor? We kind of jumped.
Oh, my bad. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's all up there in snowy cheese country.
That's a good, yeah, you're right. That's a good, like, 100 miles away, I think, probably.
But other there side, is the University other side of Wisconsin, possibly.
Oh.
You're thinking University of Michigan.
Yeah.
Mm. But that's Ann Arbor, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But
there's something in Madison.
What it's
no, there's a
yeah,
the bridges of Madison County, maybe.
I don't know. I think there's a reason why it might be cool.
Okay,
write us and tell us. There's a really good medical school there.
You reckon you have a reason as to why Madison might be cool? Record it on your mobile phone. Send it over.
Here's our short code.
Yeah.
There's got to be a way to do that though. Get short code.
Mm. What's that?
Send text.
That's lingo that's over my head, Mitch. Shortcode.
You know, a shortcode, a text to a way to text comments to my to notesunderground.com.
Oh,
that'd be pretty cool, actually.
That would be all right. I'd dig it.
So if, like, you guys at home wanted to say, "Hey, good job,"
they could text, you know, it
those kinds
straight
of
to the website.
Yeah.
It's a short code, Dan.
Short code.
It's called, I don't know if I like that term.
It's called a short code.
I don't know if it's punchy enough.
Let's hear some more music.
All right.
This one's from Clinic. They're out of Liverpool. Trippy track.
It was cool.
Yeah.
Coming out of Liverpool.
Yeah.
Liverpool.
Those guys are actually pretty old. Like not old, but like.
What, like 30?
No. But they're hitting their third album, I think. Maybe their fourth album.
Hmm.
They've been around for a while, but I like their style.
Yeah. I can dig on it.
So Dan, you and I were getting in an interesting conversation. During the song, of course.
About the Politicos?
Yeah, about the Politicos.
Yeah.
You can't help but talk about
President Obama.
Did you?
Obama, Clinton. I didn't read the article, but there was a headline that, and they didn't say which Nobel laureate, and the headline said it, but they said Nobel laureate says if Obama's elected president, he will be assassinated.
See, I worry about that.
I worry about it too. It's actually a legitimate concern that I hadn't even thought about.
Yeah.
But he is more Kennedy-like than anyone.
That's not why you don't vote for someone because they might get assassinated.
No, of course not. But it is like a dark side of the politics. And America's not past that crap.
No.
At all. I mean...
Well, I don't know that anywhere is.
Yeah. Well, clearly Pakistan isn't. Yeah. So, I mean, in a way, who's to say we're any better than that?
But. I mean, I worry about him getting assassinated before he even has a shot at like being president.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
because he does strike an emotional chord in people, and like,
yeah,
that, I mean, it, regardless of, you know, male or female, black mm-hmm. or white, like, it's those people that actually move people
mm-hmm.
that end up moving people in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's interesting that it's so revelatory to go from Bush to potentially either the first black president or the first female president.
You know,
this is no small possible change, yeah. right? This is,
and it's almost like Bush had to be there first for something, for real change
yeah.
to happen. You know?
You wonder, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There had to be like somebody that was so status quo
yeah.
that you couldn't get any.
They just wanted to, like, rip your hair out.
Yeah.
my fiance Rebecca had a really interesting reaction when she went to vote with her ballot, you know, her away ballot, and she was like, she actually likes Barack,
mm-hmm.
but then when she was staring at the ballot for California,
mm-hmm.
and it was just like, you know, it was all these. Basically, it was like 8 or 9, you know, middle-aged white guys.
Yeah.
And then Hillary.
Yeah.
Basically. And she was like, now I'm going to vote for Hillary.
Huh.
And so she did, you know.
Did you vote too?
I can't. I'm a resident alien. So. But.
Wait a second. How's that?
He's a UK guy.
Yeah. I never naturalized, which was probably dumb. I may lose my green card in the next few months.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Intriguing.
Anyways,
don't worry, I'll show you how to sneak in.
I know, I was just gonna think about it. You know any Canadian back doors?
Easy, there's like 3 or 4.
Manitoba.
Anyways. So you take a boat out of Cork, or
oh no, it's a good time. It's exciting. It's like being like 007, you know? The whole time when you're going through customs, it's like dun 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 dun. It's like tension music, like you're looking to see if anyone's noticing you. And
were you wearing cargo pants?
No, I was looking dapper, because the dapper guys never get pulled over. You gotta have nice shoes. Rule number one about nice sneaking shoes. Into a country, you gotta have nice shoes. But not alligator skin. That's too nice.
There you go.
Who
yeah.
knew?
Yeah. yeah. No, I should write a book.
Speaking of sneaking around under a visitor visa,
mm-hmm.
I just saw a really, really good movie. It's like a musical based on all the Beatles songs called Across the Universe.
Never heard of it.
It's a musical. It's not a movie.
Yeah.
It's a musical.
You're losing me already.
But
it's based on Beatles songs.
I really liked it. I thought it was really well done. I mean, it's actually quite hard to pull together, like,
yeah,
the top 20 Beatles songs and turn them into a narrative.
Yeah.
Right. And like this director pulled it off. It, like,
yeah.
there was a story to it.
Yeah.
Took a while to convince me that they were building a story out of it. But
did they work Yellow Submarine in there somehow?
No, Yellow Submarine. Because
that
not
would be, you know, that's kind of a tangent.
You know? Yeah.
And at this point, we're yeah. all in, you know, Yellow Fantasy Land.
Yeah, but they worked in. Some pretty interesting. I mean, there was some really interesting sort of. It's sort of like a bunch of videos, almost, a bunch of music videos that kind of
yeah
that sort of patched together to make a story. It's really
wow.
It's really good, and the music's done really well. Like, the guy who produced all the music was the guy who did the Oh Brother Where Art Thou soundtrack.
Not bad.
And wow. the Led the Robert Plant, Alison Krauss.
No way.
The same guy.
Wow.
And he also did the Walk the Line soundtrack.
You know, I've never met a musical I couldn't hate, but I can totally see that this is the first yeah. one I'm going to love.
Well, yeah, I don't,
sounds,
I mean, I don't know.
Intriguing.
If
That's
you
some
hate
impressive.
Musicals, it's you're not going to like it. I mean,
well, when
it's
people
a musical.
Just bust into song, it kind of bothers
it
me.
It is. But. It's weird, right? It's sort of like Moulin Rouge.
Yeah.
Like, it's very similar to Moulin Rouge. Like, yeah. you're like, ooh, that's out of place, but God, that's a pretty good song.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's kind of weird, but it's...
I gotta check. When did that come out?
It's just now. It's in theaters now.
Really?
Yeah.
What's it called?
It's called Across the Universe. Across the Universe.
Where is it, in Soho somewhere?
It's on BitTorrent.
Yeah. Downloading's illegal. Okay.
Yeah. Hello. Yeah. On that note, maybe.
Oh. I got a website to tell you about.
Okay.
Hold on, but let's go to song because I got to find it again so I can get it right.
Okay, here's one from a band called, or a DJ, I think, called Matmos.
With Paul McCartney. yeah, you can touch me if you want. I'm almost famous. Mm. You feel the magic?
I want you. Paul McCartney said, turn it on now, please.
Yeah, and then he said, that's really trippy. I like it, to me.
That's awesome.
I know. I couldn't have asked for anything more, really, than him to, you know, refer to his acid days in my presence.
Right? I mean,
yeah. Proofs right there.
Have you ever seen Magical Mystery Tour?
No, I saw Hard Day's Night.
Magical Mystery Tour is weird.
Yeah?
Like, not even like in a good acid kind of weird. It's like a bad acid kind of weird. Like, it's
too weird.
Yeah.
It's too weird. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
it's destabilizing.
Well, because they didn't have like all the cool like technology then to like to communicate weird ideas. So it's just like this sort of weird,
sort of massive effort,
barely colorized, like trippy kind of early acid, like
thing, you know, because they were on the acid trip like in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
yeah, like before it was like popularized, and they helped popularize it. I'm like,
it's amazing that they escaped any sort of negative tarnish for that, because people don't think of the Beatles and drugs.
I know, it is weird.
Not especially. You're right. It's, you like, it's, I mean, it's like they're okay drugs. If yeah. you do Beatles drugs, it's fine.
But they were into all the heavy stuff, Beatles probably, stuff, right? I mean, like,
well, I don't know. They weren't like heroin. They were like acid and pot, I think.
I would imagine an opium, I'm sure, at times.
But I'm sure they did it all. I'm sure they went through all
but
of it.
But everyone thinks of them as these happy, clean-cut people who wrote pop songs.
Yeah. They.
It's weird.
I want to hold your hand.
Exactly. Exactly. You
know, like, maybe it is because of the music.
When they hit America in the 64, it was like, it was all just about really simple, like schoolyard
love. Candy apple stuff.
Yeah, like they didn't get complex even for like 4 or 5 albums. Like they were. It was all just really like, I want to hold your hand. I want to, you know, mm-hmm. I love you. I want to spend time with you. Like I like you. You like
you
me.
Know. Maybe
Let's
that's
get
where
together.
Pete. Maybe that's where Pete Doherty then, went like, wrong. He should have written a few more of those before he started doing heroin on right. EasyJet planes.
Well, that's the thing, though, is they once, like, they so they did cross a threshold where they went from, like, this really simple, clean, poppy stuff to like, some... No, it was slow, actually. They went... Then they started getting into some abstract love Revolver. Stuff where it was, like Norwegian Wood, like, yeah. I once had a girl, or should I yeah. say she had me? So, like, they crossed this threshold, I think it was, like, around Revolver or something, where they started to go, like... Yeah, well, maybe it's not just about this cute little boy-girl love thing. Maybe sometimes love is fucked up and, like,
yeah.
whatever. And then they started, then it just, like, from there, it spiraled into, like, weird stuff about the world and, like,
yeah,
you know.
Like, imagine.
Yeah.
That's what's got
to
make for...
To me, that's when they got cool. Was yeah. When they went beyond, like, this, like, the just regular, like,
yeah.
cookie-cutter love.
Yeah, exactly.
Stuff.
That's like, what makes for the all-time greatest bands ever, is that when they have an evolution that is an evolution rather than any... I know, Bailey. I tell you, high five.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's about evolution, not yeah. revolution. You know, you got to be able to follow along and grow with them. The Beatles were perfect at that. They did move. So they were so productive, you know. They're yeah. like so prolific. They put out so many albums, and it was like
a 10-year period of time.
Yeah, so step changes each time. Yeah. And it was something that was really easy to follow. Whereas, you know, Pearl Jam, they kind of yeah. like they just like shot from one thing to another. And my, yeah. you know, I was ready.
Well,
to
even
hang
like
on, but...
bands that are productive in modern days, it's weird that like it's easier to create and record music now, but there's fewer bands actually doing like an album every year.
Yeah.
You know, like,
well,
where
Jonestown Massacre is a good example of a band that does an album every year.
They still do?
Like two sometimes.
Right?
Yeah. Like hyper produced. I don't know how long it's been since they put out their last album. I actually don't know that. But back in the late 90s, it was definitely like one, maybe two albums a year. I mean, they've got tons, absolutely tons. And that was a cool thing, but you know, it's not so much of a gradient when you're putting out too much. It's more like just schlock almost. But yeah, there's just something about that pace. It's got to be like the magic formula for most bands to like hold on to people and have that right pace of change.
Well, part of it too is the Beatles didn't tour, right?
So
they were recording artists. So they did one big world tour in like 1964. And then they're like, no. We're recording artists. So,
well, that's kind of impossible now.
Right, because recording artists, because artists don't make any money off of
music,
CD albums, sales, so yeah. that CD sales is almost just like marketing. It's free
yeah.
distribution. It's you just how tour. They distribute the music. You have to tour to make money, yeah.
But how many times are you going to see the same band, even if their albums right. are evolving nicely? How many times are you going to see the same band?
I don't know. I saw the Black Crowes like 6 times. But that's it, right? Like, probably not. I might see them again.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Are they still together?
Yeah. Really? Actually, they're just releasing, I think, a new album. I think they're coming out with another album.
Because Chris, what's his name, is brilliant.
Chris Robinson.
Robinson, thank yeah. you. Yeah.
The singer.
Yeah, he's awesome. I was. He went so quiet after he married, what's her name? I'm really good.
They broke up.
Proper nouns
he's
here.
Back
yeah.
on, he's back on the juice.
Yeah. Man, but yeah, they were super good. That'll be cool to hear.
We saw them in LA, actually, didn't we?
Yeah, in the Whole Foods parking lot.
Oh, really?
Little hybrid.
No, we actually saw them play, though, and they had this thing where you could actually buy the CD of the show after the show.
Like, yeah, that was cool.
That was like their gimmick. Or
that's
whatever.
Cool.
Which was cool, but it was also sort of like, I don't know. It was sort of weird.
Commercializing.
Well, yeah, it's weird because I was like waiting in line after the show to get a CD of the show I just saw, and then.
But it's not that far off from what Fish and the Dead were doing by the end. You know, there were so many people making bootlegs, they'd be ready like a few days after.
But you're right, but it takes away from wanting to bask in the memories. You know, like, why would I try to let it wash over me when I've got it?
Yeah.
Permanently, accurately, forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the kids who are all have their cell phone.
Yeah.
Trying to show all their friends. Dude, I'm at the show right now. What do you think? How cool am I? I'm texting you. Yeah. That's how much I love the show. I'm texting you.
I read something really interesting about this too, actually. It was there was a guy who did a study of like the like success rate of professionals, including artists, and found that it's actually pretty constant. So basically, like, you know, I think we have these notions, and I don't know if I kind of maybe want to still believe in them, that there are like brilliant people that can just do something once and it'll take off and they'll be huge. Mm-hmm. But he looked at, or I'm not sure,
sort
if
of all
he
the
she,
attempts and efforts.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And found that actually the rate of success is about constant. So there aren't people who are so brilliant that everything they do is brilliant, no matter how much time
they're
put
into
it.
They're just portrayed as brilliant.
They're just portrayed that way. Picasso?
Wait, how do you determine that?
Through
number of works
and
then level of fame.
Yeah.
So Picasso, 14,000 paintings, 20 are huge.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden all of them are huge.
Equals some hit rate.
Yeah, right. But then so, people look at it and they say, well,
so
he's
just
been
a shotgun
forever.
Method rather than like the dart.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that. I actually kind of like it because it means that it's more under your control. It's your rate of productivity rather
under
than
control.
Your level of talent.
In a way.
You know, but it's both, obviously. But yeah. But this was showing that actually the rate of becoming famous and having a big hit.
But then there's that guy, right? But then there's these one-hit wonders, right? These people that do amazing pieces of work, and it's only like that guy, Tool with the Confederacy of Dunces, right?
Oh, really?
The author of that book.
Oh, yeah.
He only wrote this one book, killed himself at 23, and his mom found the manuscript under his bed and was like, "This is a work of genius. You know, I've got to publish this." And you know, like he was ashamed of it, didn't want to publish it. Everyone who read it thought it was amazing. Like,
I think that must be a really small fraction of times that happens.
Right.
But you can totally see how it works, though. You can totally see the mechanism of it, where it's like, because it's about right place, right time. You know, and your style fits with, you know, some sort of emotion that's going on through the right number of people. Yeah, there's some sort of channel in that.
So if you're trying a lot.
Yeah, and if you're trying a lot and people clue onto it, then they're going to start to explore the rest of the stuff. And they're just going to figure you were great from the beginning, you know, because it's just because you're great right now. You must have been great from the beginning.
But greatness is, how do you measure greatness beyond the popularity or the level of enthusiasm by an audience?
I'll send you the papers. I'll download them. I don't know how they did it. There was a qualifier which was among competent professionals.
Competent? That it must have
See,
something to do with
which I don't know what that means.
Arguably, the Beatles were like profoundly successful even among competent professionals.
But we were also
and that wasn't just like that people were duped by their
music.
Well, right, but we were just saying that they worked hard. You were just saying that they didn't tour and they had a good work ethic and they pumped out a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Right, but that everything that they did was regarded by, you know, almost everything that they did was widely regarded as like really.
Yeah, you can't use music, I think, in it right now, especially right now. The Beatles. I can't say I know enough about the Beatles to say, but I don't think you can use music as to compare, because the way the music industry works, they're always looking for the next glimpse of talent, the next thing that may have the slightest chance of resonating with a large number of people.
Right.
Whereas like in the art world, like, you know, Picasso or whatever, these things are much more slower to come to light. And in which case, when it does come to light, there's a huge body of work behind it to back it up. Whereas in music, it's your first album. You know, it's like the six other songs on that album that follow the single that make you huge. And so you can't say anyone's a genius in music. You can just say that they hit the right
place. I can't
remember
who it was,
but
somebody said that if Led Zeppelin 3 had been their first album, that no one would have ever paid any attention to them,
that it was that first, it was Led Zeppelin 1, that very first album that sort of slungshot them into this stardom circuit that gave them the ability to produce whatever they wanted in this sort of quote unquote bluesy artistic world that, so that,
I think what you're saying, Dan, is really interesting too. Like, but basically what you're, and what you're also saying is that basically it's a function of having a hit at the right mood. And that's a really important thing, is just having to have it, the message that hits, that resonates, and getting that.
And then also
off.
Having the body of work that continues to like back that up.
Yeah.
You know, behind it.
There's a whole book on that. That Black Swan book that came out last year. It's by this financial analyst guy, but he basically wrote a book called The Black Swan, and it's all about how the reason history is complicated is because, you know, most of human history is formulated by very, very improbable events that you could never predict that have huge impacts on everything else. And so he has all these different advice, like you should live in a big city because that increases your chances of networking with the black swan that will change your whole life fortunes. And so it's kind of the same thing. It's like having the message that fits, you know, it's this really improbable event that changes things in huge ways.
It's a funny one. Some people really run away from that like opportunity, that, you know, like living in the city and you know, because it is that there's that sort of, you know, that critical mass of people and the networking ability where you get so many people and so many connections in one place, and all of a sudden that makes massive opportunities for everyone in that locale. And it's kind of a bit almost, I mean, I think that's a huge anxiety in a way for some people, and some people thrive on it.
And it can take away from authenticity.
Yeah.
Because
it really
you're intentionally putting yourself in a high probability success zone versus like focusing on what it is that is coming from your heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just letting it go. But yeah.
You know, like Liverpool, to bring the Beatles back. Liverpool was not like LA, you know, it wasn't a great place to be playing music, but that's where they lived. And that's where their ideas were coming from. And that turned out to be the best place for them to, you know.
Yeah.
So the Black Swan doesn't always come from a big city. And in fact, the probability of it coming from a big city makes it almost a reverse argument to say move to the country, right? Because if the probability is so big, then it's these impossible circumstances that aren't going to.
Yeah.
That aren't going to come out of the city.
Like Madison, Wisconsin.
Exactly.
Those poor young blood brass band bastards.
Let's try this next band. I think that was enough jibba jabba.
Jibba jabba.
Let's try the Howling Hex.
Oh, sweet. Hey, like a mouse with gravity and sticks. Talk from the hip shift. The mounted warrior. Balance by weight, but remain hidden.
Like that, Bailey? No comment.
Yeah, I know Bailey. That was a raw deal.
She only talks when she wants to talk.
Mitch, dude, that's the second song in the show where it ended crazy early. I'm really sorry. That was my
That was
it ended early, or did it just, or do they just have abrupt endings?
I think it ended early. I don't know why. I'm sorry.
That's bullshit.
But I think the listeners will agree with me. They're damn good.
Yeah.
That was nice.
That almost had a Led Zeppelin-y kind of a sound to it.
Yeah, and there's a mystery about them too, in that I've tried to hunt them down, you know, in like a very cursory Google sort of way. They have no MySpace page, you know. Well, they do, but their only friend is Tom, so that sucks.
Doesn't count.
Yeah, and their website has nothing biographical about it. It's just a bizarre blog of events that really doesn't mention anything about the band. There's a one-line entry on Wikipedia that says, Howling Hex is an American rock band founded by guitarist Neil Haggerty, period. And they have one YouTube clip. But they're on Drag City Records, which
you
is actually one of my favorite.
The most unknown band on the internet.
Yeah, they are. But Drag City Records is brilliant.
I think this might be the smallest, most unknown band ever.
We've ever played?
Yeah.
Well, either that or they're huge, and what their secret to success is not having an online presence.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like Banksy.
They're going to infuriate and drive you super curious because you can't Google them. Because
you can't get what you want. But it did get me looking into Drag City Records, which I know I've seen them a lot around, and they've done some great stuff. And goddamn, if they haven't, Papa M on Drag City, Will Oldham, Jim O'Rourke, who I really dig, and you know a ton of Joanne Newsom, Drag City Records. Yeah, so clearly, you know they're in the right thing. I think we might see them move. Have we been on the forefront? Oh, King Kong is on Drag City Records. You ever hear that album?
No.
What?
I'm so sorry. King Kong is this Memphis blues band, right? And they did this album called King Kong, which was about the story of a caveman falling in love with a yak. And every song is about the story of this caveman falling in love with a yak until the caveman meets the cave woman in a tree when a tiger chased them up a tree. And then it's about how the caveman has to break up his relationship with the yak in order to then form the new relationship with cave woman.
It's beautiful.
But it is. It's really.
That should be a Beatles song.
It reminds me of my life.
Thank you. So that's a King Kong song?
King Kong is the band. I'll try and bring them next time because it's good blues. It's really good blues. But then you have to listen to the lyrics to find out that it's talking about the most bizarre fictitious story.
And when you think of yourself in that, are you the King Kong or the beautiful woman?
Yak.
Or the tiger?
Yak.
You're the yak?
I'm the yak. I don't shower enough to be the caveman or the beautiful woman. I'm definitely the yak.
Dan's man musk.
Yeah. So
they were cool.
Yeah.
And actually one of the entries on their blog took me to the RIM 161 SM3 flight test program.
I told you it's just bullcrap.
There's a crazy like low res gif of a SAM-3 missile, and if you click it pulls up the webpage of the missile from www.globalsecurity.org.
These guys are bizarre.
Absolutely. Oh wait, bizarre. Is that the thing? Did you hear about that?
No.
In the middle of the night last night, the U.S. fired a missile up into the air and they exploded a satellite.
Oh, the splatellite. Splatellite.
Splatellite. It's part of the Star Wars program.
Missile defense system, yeah. Oh man, I'm glad to hear it worked. It could have gone really bad.
I mean.
So now we're going to have a million little radioactive, chemically nasty pieces coming down instead of one.
Yeah, no big deal.
Sweet, I'm into it.
Making it rain.
Yeah. Oh, so not to leave the listeners hanging, but two songs ago I mentioned this awesome website called quicksilverscreen.com. And the reason it's awesome is because I don't know how they get away with it, Mitch. Maybe you can tell me a little bit how they do it. But it's better than BitTorrent in that people upload to this website full movies, and this website then streams them to you right then. Like, I can click right now, we can start watching Blood Diamond, and it's being streamed to me.
Is it good quality?
No, it's low quality, but they have they can let you can play it.
How low quality is low quality?
Yeah, it is, but it's streaming it to me, and I can make it full screen on my computer. I don't have to watch it in a little YouTube window.
But
I can
make it look
full
all blocky?
Screen. A little bit. Some are better than others.
Yeah.
The funny thing about this website, though, is that people have
put up... BitTorrent is community, not individual. So if this is a single website...
Yeah.
I'm scared.
Yeah. I don't know how they do it, but
Maybe they're using Star Wars missile defense.
People put up some really eclectic stuff in there too, like old, like, you know, Marilyn Monroe, like old stuff that was only on film, you know. And
weird.
I don't know how they get it up there, but I'm
loving it.
That's
actually how you die. You know, that's how you break into the market with stuff like that. Like,
yeah, they have a lot of really
stuff
interesting
stuff that you just can't get.
Yeah,
you know, because for me, like, that's the interesting thing, right? Is it like I'll actually rent or buy a movie if it's on DVD, but like I can't go see a movie that's in theaters because I've got a kid, right? So I feel justified in downloading it from a bunch of weirdos off the internet, you know? Like, because I'm like, well, look, it's gonna take 6 to 9 months before I'm able to see this movie. Like, realistically, is that fair for me to wait that long when I could just click it and 4 hours later, like, you know, dude, that's not bad.
That's Blood Diamond full screen down, but like streaming to my computer right now on this website. It blows my mind.
Where did you find out about it?
Some are better than others. A friend pointed me to it.
What's the site called again?
Quicksilverscreen.com.
That's pretty amazing.
It's insane. This is streaming right now.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
I'm thinking about enjoying Cocaine Cowboys.
Yeah, I want to see that too. Anyway, I'm shocked. I can't think that this is going to last long. It's another one of those.
Have you guys seen any other good movies? Have you seen No Country for Old Men?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that sweet?
I haven't seen it yet.
That was insane. I loved it.
310 to Yuma?
No, I never saw 310 to Yuma.
Or
was that
the
good?
Outlaw, or The Assassination of Jesse James?
No, but I heard that was brilliant.
Yeah. A couple of good westerns.
I saw the Yuma, actually. That was with the Aussie guy. And also
Russell Crowe and
Batman.
And Batman, what's his
name? That was great.
I like the way that Western and Westerns are going these days. Like, I think that new Westerns are brilliant. And you could even say No Country for Old Men is a modern Western.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
And I love that. I really think that it's brilliant the way it's coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my dad used to watch a ton of Westerns. I never liked them. I never liked watching, you know, old John Wayne's or anything. It never really hooked me.
What about the Spaghettis?
No.
None of the Eastwoods?
Not into it. No. Just couldn't care. I don't know. There's something like...
What was up with the
too
Italians
unreal about
and
it,
Westerns? But, I mean, Spaghetti Western, that term comes from...
That term.
An Italian director that was...
No.
Wasn't it?
Well, I have a different story. That term, the rector of the RCA, the head dude at the Royal College of Art... He's a PhD in film or something like that, a doctorate in film.
Okay, so
and he apparently coined the term spaghetti western in his doctorate. I think that's the story I heard.
With
Sir Christopher Frayling,
what was
coined the term spaghetti western?
Why spaghetti?
I don't know. I don't know.
From Italy.
Man, that's such a letdown.
Sorry. Sorry, we can email him.
That was the biggest piece of empty information I've had all day.
But if Sir Christopher Frayling came up with it, I'm sorry, Mitch, what was your theory?
I think that
there was an Italian involved
director.
Somewhere. I like that story, man. That was a good story.
There was an Italian director, and he started making Westerns and filmed in California. And Clint Eastwood was one of the guys in The Good, the Bad,
that's
the Ugly.
That's it. Wait, that's way better.
I'm going to Wikipedia.
That's way better.
Sort this out.
Dan didn't even sort out the word spaghetti.
You got both spaghetti.
My professor.
And Western.
Yeah, but I grounded it in the real world.
Hey, I've got while Dan's looking this
up
on Wikipedia.
Yeah. How do you spell
spaghetti? I've got a Martin here says, "Hey guys, always a pleasure listening to you. I think you have a pretty nice threesome going there with Spence. He's not quite right on the Swedish pronunciation, though.
Oh, no.
KJ would actually be more like SH in English.
Oh, okay.
So maybe that's what he said? Anyways, I think, quote unquote, shit, and you're pretty close. So even though Christian... Shillevender, of course, is not shitty at all. Shillevender.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
So the huh must be SJ. And then the other one is SH.
Yeah.
Oops.
KJ.
Sorry, everybody.
Yeah.
Swedish. Totally wrong.
So in a response way back, I wrote that it would be nice to hear a song in Swedish on the show. If I find something and mail it to you, will you play it then?
Hell yeah.
Absolutely. The answer is yes, Martin.
Swedish folk. Hit us with some Swedish folk.
We have a
dude,
bunch of great artists in Sweden, and they're only known in Scandinavia just because they're singing in their native language. I can think of one band singing in Swedish that is known to a greater audience. That is, and that's Bob Hund. Ever heard of them? I think I have, actually. H-U-N-D, of course, being dog in English, which you already knew, right?
Of course. No, I was on that.
Hund.
I was going to point it out, but you beat me to the punch.
Ja, Schweinhund.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep doing what you're doing, guys. Looking forward to number 75.
Oh, we're on it.
You don't have to wait too long.
Yeah.
Actually, I saw some sweet art in Sweden 2 weeks ago, which I could talk about maybe.
I'm going to Scandinavia in like a month. I'm going to Stockholm.
Sweet.
Yeah. Hey, Martin, you want to meet up in Stockholm? Maybe we get a beer?
Yeah, in Storstark.
Would that be weird? That's how Dan and I met.
Yeah. Yeah, that was weird.
Podcast.
that was a clash of worlds.
That was sweet, dude. I got an email from Dan. He's like, hey, I hear you're in London. I like your show. Want to get a beer? I was like, hell yeah, that's
pretty
sweet.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
And now it was pretty crazy to find out that Dan knows a lot of my friends from San Francisco or his friends from San Francisco.
Still spinning my
his
world.
His friends from college.
So Dan, hit me up with Spaghetti Western.
Spaghetti Western is a nickname for a broad subgenre of Western film that emerged in the mid-1960s. So named because most were produced by Italian studios. Originally, they had in common the Italian language, low budgets, and a recognizably highly fluid, violent, and minimalist cinematographic that eschewed, some say, demythologized many of the conventions of earlier Westerns.
Face!
Partly intentionally, partly as a result of the work being done in a different cultural background and with limited funds, the term was originally used disparagingly, but by the 1980s, many of these films came to be held in high regard, particularly because it was hard to ignore the influence they had in redefining the entire idea of a Western up to that point. No mention of Sir Christopher Frayling.
No. Maybe you should tell your professor that he wasn't mentioned in that.
Maybe he needs to revise his CV. Yes.
Does he really have a bachelor's from Iowa State?
Yeah. So apparently Man With No Name, Dollars Trilogy, directed by Sergio Leone and some of the Clint Eastwoods. And
Sergio.
And Ennio Marconi.
Fistful of Dollars.
Yeah, Fistful of Dollars. Those were the big ones.
Cool.
Well, cool. Mitch, you won this round, but it's not over.
Sparks okay. fly.
Yeah.
Never go against a Sicilian when Westerns are on the line.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. We got one. We got one last song, and then I think that's it, right? Unless we've got any more bullshit to shovel around tonight.
The only shoveling. I'll save it for next time. In Stockholm, I saw a crazy art exhibit.
Oh, who?
Oh,
it was it's an American guy. Oh, jeez. No, I'm gonna have to go look it up. But it was in Stockholm, and the show was on. You go basically. You don't know what's gonna happen. This is a spoiler here. So if you're in Stockholm and you're going to the show, I'm sorry.
Wait, I'm gonna go.
Oh, you're gonna be there, aren't
you?
Is it still on? Are you sure it's
okay?
Still
cliffhanger.
On?
Cliffhanger. We'll talk about it when I come back. Bye,
perfect.
Everyone. Tapes.
Bye,
and tapes.
Everybody.
Coming up.
Perfect.